This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Wednesday's headlines on a very busy day here in Washington. We begin with the health care debate. As President Obama said, his final version of health care reform legislation is ready to be pushed on Capitol Hill, and he wants lawmakers to act within the next few weeks. The president says after months of long debate on this issue, on many different aspects of this issue, the time for talk is over and the time for action has come.
Every idea has been put on the table. Every argument has been made. Everything there is to say about health care has been said, and just about everybody has said it. So now's the time to make a decision.
The president says that for those who like their current health care system and want to keep their current plan and their current doctor, absolutely you can.
It builds on the current system where most Americans get their health insurance from their employer. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor.
That is not true, according to Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute and a frequent guest of ours. She says the facts and independent analyses simply prove that's not true.
It is clear from the Congressional Budget Office report that at least 10 million people are going to lose their employer-sponsored coverage. A third of people on Medicare Advantage are going to either lose their coverage altogether or lose benefits. So how can he say that when the agencies, the independent government agencies, whose job it is to analyze this legislation, say it ain't true?
President Obama positioning himself as the Goldilocks in this debate, saying some on the left want government to run health care from top to bottom. And he says Republicans, on the other hand, think the solution is simply to loosen the restrictions on the insurance industry.
On the other end of the spectrum, there are those, and this includes most Republicans in Congress, who believe the answer is to loosen regulations on the insurance industry, whether it's state consumer protections or minimum standards for the kind of insurance they can sell. The argument is that will somehow lower costs. I disagree with that approach.
Grace Marie Turner says the president is vastly oversimplifying the Republican approach, and she says the GOP has a lot of good, specific ideas to improve competition and bring down costs.
Republicans are talking about targeted reforms. They're talking about figuring out how do you get more competition in the health sector, give people more choices, help people get insurance that can't afford it now without taking over the whole health sector. And the basic difference in philosophy is that the Republicans believe if you give people more choices, more ownership, more control, you are going to be able to get prices and costs down, making health insurance more affordable for everybody.
To hear my entire interview with Grace Marie Turner, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. Plenty of Republican reaction as well, even before the president outlined his final pitch for health care reform. New Hampshire Republican Senator Judd Gregg, top GOP member on the Senate Budget Committee, said that the president's plan is a no-go when it comes to his opinion and the opinion of most Republicans on Capitol Hill. Senator Gregg says he can add a few Republican ideas, but the underlying bill is lousy.
There are a whole series of things we can do, but we should start from a blank piece of paper and work on the things that we agree on, of which there are some very significant items. And the president may mention a couple today, but as a practical matter, putting him on this underlying vehicle, which is called the Senate health care bill, it just doesn't work because the bill is so bad.
Senator Gregg was then pressed by MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell to explain what's wrong with the current Obama plan.
Well, I think it's sort of like putting a new mirror on an Edsel. You know, the simple fact is the underlying vehicle, which is the $2.5 trillion bill that passed the Senate and which they're going to try to pass out of the House and send it to the president to sign, is fundamentally flawed. It's too much government. It's too big. It's too much interference with the markets. It'll force a lot of people off the insurance they have today. And it will end up, I think, creating a massive amount of debt, which will get passed on to our kids.
Starting over with a clean sheet of paper, that's been the mantra of Republicans for days and was certainly a common phrase at the bipartisan health care summit last week at the Blair House. Republican Senate leader Mitch McConnell is still advocating that position, and he says some of the Democratic talking points as to why some moderates should vote for this package are going to fall flat. He says one pitch is for Democrats to try and make history. He says they'll probably be history if they support this thing. There's also the push, he says, to get this behind Democrats heading into the midterm elections. McConnell says if they approve this thing, it'll be right in front of them all the way to Election Day.
Well, listen, I assure you, that if this bill is somehow passed, it won't be behind our Democratic friends, it'll be ahead of them. Because every election in America this fall will be a referendum on this issue.
The other major story on Capitol Hill on Wednesday surrounds New York Congressman Charlie Rangel, the 40-year member of the House of Representatives and chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, at least until today. There had been a push by Republicans for months as a result of ongoing ethics investigations into Rangel for him to give up the gavel to the Tax Writing Ways and Means Committee, particularly since a lot of those allegations surround his failure to pay taxes. Today, Congressman Rangel says he didn't want to be a distraction to other Democrats, and so he will temporarily step aside as chairman.
I have this morning sent a letter to Speaker Pelosi asking her to grant me a leave of absence until such time as the Ethics Committee completes its work.
Rangel also said, although not in direct terms, that one of the reasons this has lingered as long as it has is that Pelosi hasn't granted this before. Rangel says he's offered to step aside temporarily for a while now.
I also would like to say that from the very, very beginning, I had offered this to Speaker Pelosi.
House Republicans glad Rangel is stepping down, but they've got one problem with his strategy. House Republican Leader John Boehner says there's nowhere in the House rules that says you can temporarily step down.
There is nothing in the rules of the House that refers to temporarily stepping aside. Either you're the chairman or you're not.
One of the leading critics of Congressman Rangel and the man who has led the push to have him stripped of his committee chairmanship over the past several months is Texas Congressman John Carter. He went to the House floor to clarify what the House rule is should Rangel decide he wants his job back relatively soon.
Does the reinstating of the gentleman from New York, Mr. Rangel, to the chairman of the Committee on Ways and Means require as a necessary action the adopting of a resolution by the full House of Representatives electing him as chair?
The gentleman is stating a hypothetical. The chair will not comment.
That is Colorado Congressman and Speaker Pro Tem John Salazar. He did later say, though, in response to a further parliamentary inquiry from Congressman Carter, that a full House resolution would be required to return Rangel to his position, or anyone else for that matter, as a full-time chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. You can also hear my full conversation on this issue with Congressman Carter, worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org. The new chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee will be California's Pete Stark. Much more on him tomorrow. One other note from Capitol Hill, Senator Joe Lieberman, independent Democrat from Connecticut, apparently leading the charge to repeal the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy for the military.
There are estimates that 4,000 of our troops per year leave service voluntarily because of their apprehension or opposition to the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. And of course, we can only guess how many people didn't enlist, have not enlisted in the military because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Bad day in the nation's capital for traditional value supporters as gay marriage licenses are now being issued by the city office. And the biggest political story outside of Washington, Texas Governor Rick Perry getting enough votes to avoid a runoff, soundly defeating Texas Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison for the Republican primary in the Lone Star State. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.